Well, my title from Hebrews 2 is Drifting. Be pretty obvious from the reading, really, where I'm going. There were times when I was a teacher, you'd say, pens down, look this way, look at the board, all eyes this way, eyes front, can I have your attention, please, or something like that, because it was important. And in Hebrews 2, we are told we must pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Drifting. 1973, I went canoeing up the River Wye with a group from college, and there'd been pollution in the River Wye, and there were literally dozens and dozens of dead salmon. And you knew they were dead because they just drifted on the surface. It was a horrible thing. They smelt as well. It was horrible. It was a horrible sight. Now, actually, in the verse I quoted then, I left one word out deliberately, and the word was therefore. And therefore obviously links Hebrews 2, the beginning, with the previous chapter which I read. In other words, in view of the fact that Jesus is who he is, the Son of God, he's co-equal, he's equal to the Father, he is God the Son. In view of the fact that he's so much superior to the angels, therefore Hebrews 2 says, look, if the angels did mediate the message at Mount Sinai, and it to disobey the message was very, very serious. How much more serious would it be then to disobey the message of salvation, which didn't come from angels, but came from the Lord himself? How shall we escape then if we ignore, or I think better translation, how shall we escape if we neglect something that came directly from the Lord himself? In other words, we really need to listen. We need to take it seriously. It's more dangerous to disobey a message that comes directly from God, because it does come directly from God, but also it was confirmed, he says, to us by those who were witnesses, which might suggest that the person who was writing was not actually a witness at that time. I don't know. And also, the Lord then confirmed it with miracles, signs, and wonders, and spiritual gifts. And on that point, I am a miracle. And if you're a Christian, you are a miracle. Sitting, breathing, walking, eating, in my case tonight, preaching, miracle. A few times I've had the opportunity to say to somebody who has known me a long time, look, you knew me before I was a Christian. You've seen the change. I say God is responsible for the change. What do you say? And in every case so far, there's been silence. I am a miracle. Are you a miracle? Do you live as if you're a miracle? Do you walk around as if you're a miracle? When you pick up your Bible or you come to God in prayer, do you come knowing you're a miracle? So there's a solemn warning. Pay more careful attention, so that you do not drift away, because otherwise, how are you going to escape? But I want to focus really on the drifting away. Remember now, the Hebrew Christians who were receiving the letter, they're under pressure, extreme pressure. And we know, just like Psalm 73, we can feel sometimes as if our feet are almost gone, almost slipped. You probably remember the story, I'm sure I told it dozens of times. It was on one of those Michael Burke programs about 20, 30, oh, 30 years ago now, must be. There were two guys, and their hobby was diving. And so they took their two wives in a boat on holiday so they could go deep sea diving. And off down they went, and the two ladies just had to put up with it, and they were sitting in the boat knitting. What had happened was the diver's anchor had not held. It wasn't long enough actually to reach the shore, the seabed. And so when the divers eventually came up, unknown to them, the boat had drifted literally miles away. And of course the ladies didn't know that it had drifted either until it started to get dark, and they started to think, well, dear me, they've been down under the water a long time. It was very dangerous for the women, because they had to find some way back to shore in the dark. But for the guys who came up with all this heavy diving gear on them, and found that when they got to the surface, no boat in sight. And they had to ditch all the diving gear and try and swim to the shore. But the point is this, as they were drifting, there was no effort required on anybody's part. No effort. It was the easiest thing in the world to just drift. And before they knew it, they were all miles away in a very dangerous situation. Now you see the illustration there. If you drift spiritually, see, is the whole book of Hebrews one sermon? I don't know. Is it a whole collection of sermons? I don't know. I do know there's lots of great doctrine in there, but also it's peppered with these punchy exhortations. And here's one tonight. It said, how are you going to look, pay more careful attention? Otherwise, how are you going to escape? It's a direct challenge, isn't it? It was tailor-made, obviously, for the original hearers, but tonight is tailor-made for you and for me, for us. A number of times in the Gospels, the Father speaks out loud from heaven. And in the Transfiguration, he speaks and he says, this is my Son, whom I've chosen. And what comes next? Listen to him. Now, do you listen? Are you listening? Now, do you listen to God? For how shall we escape if we neglect what he says? When you pick up your Bible and you read it, do you pick up your Bible at all? Do you read it? Do you take notice or do you neglect what you read? Because again, just to remind you, it takes zero energy to drift. I've read, according to the headlines and everything in the paper, that during the lockdown, which has gone on a long time now, more than half a year, isn't it? During the lockdown, apparently many people have put on much more weight than they would be happy with. And so they apparently, according to what I read, many people have decided they're going to get fit or they're going to cut down on what they eat or a bit of both. And how many of them then are failing, they're neglecting the plan that they've already decided they're going to implement. What we need to do spiritually, and probably in that situation as well, is take immediate action. Don't be casual about the Christian life. Very, very few people sit down and decide, spiritually, I'm going to coast from now on. Very few people do that. They don't make that conscious decision. They just read the severe warnings in Scripture, and there are lots of them, and they neglect to take it seriously. That's all that's needed. And you're already on the way. You're already drifting. Maybe you haven't drifted far yet. But if that's your situation, pretty soon, unless you take drastic action, you'll be miles away and you'll be in a very dangerous situation. A woman asked her pastor once, why is it the distance between my head, the things I understand about the Bible, why is it the distance between my head and my heart seems like 1,000 miles? Well, it's a very good question, isn't it? How far would you say tonight it feels the distance between your head and your heart? There was a lovely guy years ago in a church. I preached on heaven and I was very excited. And he came up to me and the first word he said to me was, Al, I am earthbound. Do you understand what he was saying? Well, he'd already been drifting, obviously, for some considerable time, maybe for years, I don't know. But what do I mean by drifting? How do you know if you're drifting? Drifting away from what? There was a book by a very well-known Christian academic years ago, and he said, I read good Christian literature, I read my Bible every day, I listened regularly to sermons, I even studied the geography of the Holy Land. And then a few years later, I realized I was bone dry. Now, do you understand what he's talking about? Now, he's reading. He's reading the Bible. He's reading good Christian stuff. He's even delving into the geography of the Holy Land so he can picture the mountains and the river or whatever. But he's bone dry. He's drifted. I once asked a group in a seminar thing that I was taking, how can you tell if somebody's drifting? And the answers in that particular group were awful. The first answer, how do you know somebody's drifting? They don't come to church, okay? What if they come to church? How can you tell they're drifting? Or they come to church, they haven't got a Bible with them, right? What if they come to church and they have got a Bible with them? How can you tell they're drifting? Well, they got a Bible with them, they're in church, but they don't read it. Just think, this is pathetic. What is the Christian life about? Anyway, what is the Christian life about? I remember a lovely guy, lovely Christian guy, he's in the ministry now, saying to me, the best thing to do on a Sunday is pack Sunday with four meetings. So one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening, and an after church meeting. And the reason you pack the day with those meetings is so there's not too much time left to sin. But is the Christian life about meetings? Are meetings important? Yes. Is the Bible important? Yes. But can we read the Bible and still drift? Yes. Can we be in church every possible meeting and still drift? Yes, we can. We drift away from Jesus. We drift away from the Lord himself. See, reading the Bible is not the same as fellowship with God, is it? I mean, we ought to have fellowship with God through the Bible, but they're not the same thing. We can just read and ignore what God is saying, not take it to heart. See, I'm not talking about drifting away from church, though that's dangerous. And I'm not flagging up drifting away from the Bible, which is also dangerous. We're urged in Hebrews not to drift away from the Lord. Don't drift away from him. Remember, later in the same book, we're told to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run the race with perseverance, turning our eyes, fixing our eyes, looking unto Jesus, which is why I wanted that hymn twice today. A, it's a beautiful hymn, but turn your eyes to Jesus. That's got to be the secret. Meaning, not just do you look at him physically, which we can't because he's in heaven, but it means to focus on him and listen to what he's saying. Throw off everything that hinders. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We all know friends, don't we, who were really close a few years ago and they've slowly drifted apart. They used to ring each other regularly or text each other every day or whatever, and now hardly ever. We all know people who are very close friends and we get a card at Christmas and that's it. But we can drift away from Jesus. How do I make sure I don't drift? In the text, pay more careful attention to what I hear. Take heed, or whatever version you've got. That's it. I remember years ago, there was a man came and he preached on the church at Laodicea in Revelation. And the church was lukewarm, which is what it says in the text. And as I came out of the church, I spoke to an elder. We hadn't been in that church long. And I spoke to an elder. And I said, it's a very challenging message. Oh, yes, he said. And I said, is that us then here, lukewarm? Well, some would say so, he said. I said, yeah, but what do you say? Oh, well, you should have been here 40 years ago or 30 years ago. We were lukewarm then. Yeah, but I wasn't. I'm asking, is it us now? And I could not get an answer out of this man. And I just thought, see, he's not listened here. I've been listening to this guy and I am challenged about my own lukewarmness, but he's not. You see, you can have teaching or preaching, you can listen to it, or you can pick up your Bible to read, say, and the spiritual food is there. But you know, sometimes when you have a plate of food, you can just move the food around the plate, can't you? You know, there are people sometimes, they don't want to be impolite, so they like to give the impression they're eating it, but they don't want to eat it, and they just move the food around. Or, I suppose in extreme case, you could put the food in your mouth and chew it and then just spit it out. And you can do that with the Bible, you know. If you neglect, that's what you're doing. We've got to take it in, digest it, the old Puritan word, meditate. Apply it, as one of the Puritans said, preach the word straight at your heart. Or Spurgeon said the same sort of thing. Don't fire your gun in the air. We understand what he's saying. In other words, you've got to apply it to yourself. You've got to. There was a church I preached at 3 or 4 times many years ago now. And afterwards, we'd all go to somebody's house, and a number of other churches would gather, and all the youth groups would come together. And on a few occasions, they'd use this illustration of the Bible, which I absolutely hated. They'd say, don't worry if you can't remember what you've read in your quiet time or whatever. The Bible is like a sieve. You know, the water runs through it. The sieve doesn't hold anything, but it cleanses it. And the reason I didn't like that is because it's wrong. Very wrong. There's no benefit in reading the Bible and taking no notice of what it says. That's magic, isn't it? There's no benefit at all in going through the motions, following the rigmarole. That's religion. That's all the religions of the world just about. No, the Lord speaks. We're to listen to what he says, and we're to respond. How can I make sure I don't drift? This is the only way. Listen to what the Lord says, because this is the Christian life. Listen to what he says. It's a relationship. Listen to what he says and respond. You know, one of the main points of the Reformation, wonderful Reformation, was like 1 Peter 3:18. Christ died for sins once for all to bring us to God. The Reformation majored on that. We are justified by faith. We now have access to God. We don't need a priest to mediate. We don't need the church to administer salvation. We can go straight to God. We can go directly to God. When Jan Hus was lied to, he was a preacher in the 14th century, when he was lied to and told, when he was summoned to this court, church court, he was promised safe conduct, and of course they lied, and they tied him to the stake with lots of false accusations. But Jan Hus said this, "I will take my case to a higher court than this." In other words, I go straight to God. That was the essence of what it was all about, you see. They refused to accept that he could go straight to God, but he could. The cross of Christ opened the way to heaven, to Almighty God. Somebody said to me the other day, laughing, "I've got friends in high places." Well, if you're a Christian, we've got a friend in the highest place of all. We have access to God. We can draw near to God in full assurance of faith, Hebrews says. What a privilege. We can draw near to God. It's not about the mechanics of just reading the Bible or saying a particular prayer. There was a group years ago, they went to this big conference I'd never been to. And they were enthusing me, two or three of them, when they came back, said how wonderful it was, and they were trying to encourage me to go. And I had a suspicion that it wouldn't be particularly beneficial, but I thought, okay, they're trying to encourage me to go. So I said to them, okay, let me ask you, did God speak? Yes. What did he say? Absolute silence. So no, you said, I asked you if he spoke. You said he spoke. Yes, he did. Well, what did he say? Do you know the only answer? They picked on one of the main speakers in the conference and they said, well, Don Carson's a very clever man. Well, he is a very clever man. He's a very good speaker. But God didn't say that, did he? What did God say? It's not about judging the speaker's performance. You know, what did God say? Because if God didn't say anything, you know, somebody asked once after an evening service, how can I really get to know God better? Okay. Do you want to know God better? Yes. Okay. Read your Bible. Yeah. And when he speaks to you, yeah, respond. Well, that's it. That's it. That is it. Now, the Lord's gracious. He may suddenly intervene. I know that. Wonderful as he is. But that is it. That is a relationship. He speaks. We respond. Well, surely it's got to be a shortcut, he said. No, that's it. See, there's no magic button to press. Because when he speaks, he might urge us to carry on. He might say, you're making progress. Go on. Or he might shame us into confession and repentance. Maybe he'll open our eyes to see something we thought we understood, but now, wow. But every time he speaks, we have to respond. Yes, the Lord can suddenly come. Oh, suddenly is wonderful. But the normal Christian life, if you can call it normal, it's a wonderful Christian life, isn't it? Is draw near to God. And what will he do? He will draw near to us. There's a song on the radio this week by Gary Barlow. There we are. And the song, I don't know what it's called, but the words that came to me as he was singing, they emphasized, stay close to me. And I just thought, yeah, that's it, isn't it? Don't drift. What's the opposite of drifting? Stay close to Jesus. You know, when I was a kid, you know, there was only one car on our street, so everybody played football in the street. And they knew pick up teams. There'd be a bunch of 20 boys, and two people would, two of the biggest bullies normally would decide they were captains, and they'd just say, I love him, you have him. And sometimes, tragically, sadly, sometimes there was one boy left, and neither captain wanted him. They said, oh, you can have him. No, you have him. Well, are we like that with God? Are we like that with Jesus? Don't really want him. I'm going to drift away. I don't really want him. In 1948, I was rereading this again this week, a man I had the privilege of meeting was in a meeting a bit like this, but not over electronics, obviously, but a bit like this. And he said later, the Lord suddenly filled me to such a degree I was sobbing and laughing at the same time. And then he said this, and a short time later, everyone else was filled too. The Lord can suddenly come. He can suddenly come. The reality of what he's saying can just come home to you in a most extraordinary way. And then we are to respond. So how do you not drift? Stay close. How do you stay close? Listen to what he says. And you respond. May it be so. Amen.